Domenico Laporta, and you are listening to a new episode of the Co-Production Podcast brought to you by Cineuropa and Eurimage. I am the editor of Cineuropa, your number one resource for European industry content published daily in four languages. Our media is supported by Creative Europe, and you can always access all of our content for free at cineuropa.org. Today, we are discussing the co-production of the feature film Ordinary Failures, directed by Kristina Grosan. The film is a co-production between Czech Republic, Hungary, and Italy. I'm welcoming two of the three and maybe four co-producers of the film today. Can I ask you to introduce yourself, starting with you, Marek? You are representing the production company Xova Film in Czech Republic.
Thank you, Domenico. Hello, I'm Marek Novák from Czech production company Xova Film. I'm the delegate producer of Ordinary Failures. And I started my production company Xova Film in 2014. I started with TV documentaries and gradually through feature documentaries like Circus Rwanda or hybrid formats like Vienna Calling by Peter Sprinzel or Moravia Offer Land as well with Peter Sprinzel. I turned to fiction films as well, and Ordinary Failures is the second fiction film of Xova Film to date. And I would also actually mention that there is a fourth co-producer involved. It's a Slovak company, Superfilm, but because of the share and every match rules, they are not officially in terms of the structure as a party. So it's part of the Czech umbrella.
Thank you. Also with us today, we have Judith. Welcome. Judith, you are representing Laocoon Cinema in Hungary.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for having here. I'm Judith Starter, one of the producers of Laocoon Film Group. We based in Budapest and already 20 years old production company. Our main and biggest title is Son of Saul, which gave us the biggest international worldwide recognition. But we are very active on other international co-productions, and our current one is Kristina's second feature film with Marek and the other partners.
Thank you. Marek, you can also maybe say something about Rosamund in Italy. They are also collaborating to the project, but the producer is not with us today.
The third co-producer of Ordinary Failures is Italian company Rosamund, represented by Marika Sopki, who I met through ABBE Producers Workshop in 2019, and where I actually participated with the project. And so it's been a partnership growing since then in the project.
Thank you. And maybe you can also tell us a little bit about the story of the film without spoiling it too much.
Ordinary Failures follows three different women in one day, when the city they live in is gradually overwhelmed by a strange, dangerous phenomenon, and the rising chaos forces them to confront themselves, step out of their comfort zones, and deal with their own problems as well as with the global problems around.
This is a film that you mentioned you developed also as part of the AAV program, the producers program, but the film was also at When East Meets West in Trieste. Did you attend it also different co-production market or development markets?
We attended only When East Meets West in 2020. It was January, so one of the last offline markets before COVID. It was very good for the development of the project because we got this pop-up film residency award, which helped the writer and the director further shape the story at the residency. But we also, by that time, we already had our co-production structure in mind and in progress, but we were able to follow up on the discussions with sales agents and to keep up the talk about the project in the industry, on the industry side. And that was actually after ERWE. I did ERWE in 2019, and Trieste was January 2020.
You did, at what stage did you get on board? How did you come by the project?
That was really early, because I'm the producer of Christina's first feature film. So I've heard about this story and possibility in synopsis stage, and I also knew Marek at that time. So I would say I think I was the first co-production partners candidate also in Marek's and Christina's mind. And luckily we managed to involve our film fund quite early. So we knew all together this project from the beginning.
It was the most obvious choice to approach Judith and Laucon, because they were, I think it was just finished the production of Christina's debut in Judith Hand, and this Ordinary Failures were in late script development, and because it's a Czech script and Czech project, and we decided to attach a Hungarian director, that's a very strong creative element to have on board, so it was very interesting for us to explore this possibility. Co-producing with Hungary, of course.
And also because of the first feature film, Christina has great collaborators on the author side. It was a natural situation. How can we continue this great partnership, such as with the DOP and also with the editor, and also for the post-production department, people. So I think it's this setup and this structure is a dream of co-production partners, because it's just simply really natural.
So it means the two countries are also very complementary in terms of funding conditions. What are the sources of financing? Sorry, you had access to, Marek, in Czech Republic.
The very first source or support for the project was in an early script stage, when Clara, the writer, got an award from a local film foundation for young talented writers. Then it was still herself as a writer. She got support for writing the first draft, and then with that we were already discussing it together and developing it together. And then when we decided to approach Christina and she decided to board the project, we got the development support from the Czech Film Fund. And from Czech Republic, we then gradually approached other possible partners. And the next stage was Czech Television co-production input, which actually takes some time, the negotiation, but we were in touch with them pretty early. Then the crucial, of course, is the local production support from the national body. So the Czech Film Fund eventually gave us the production support. And with that, we managed to also get two regional funding in the Czech Republic, one from the city of Prague, Prague Film Fund, and then a grant from Pilsen region. And otherwise, of course, there is the Kashi base, also administered by the Czech Film Fund, but it's based on local spending. And apart from that, part of the Czech input, or at least we have in the financing plan, is the pre-sale to Arte, the Strasbourg-based mother company of the German-French broadcaster, which was actually at first initiated by the Czech Television. Because there is a collaboration treaty, and this was proposed to them as a project for that as well.
And still, you involved Italy as well. What is the collaboration of Italy? What kind of funding do you have access there?
I mentioned that Marika, our Italian co-producer, I was also quite early on in the project because we were in the same group at Aave where I was with the project. And it was a source I wouldn't really like think of myself that would be possible, but she proposed to go that way. And that was so the first Italian funding was regional funding from through the Venezia Giulia, the local audiovisual fund, which supported the development of the project. And honestly, I was very pleasantly surprised how benevolent and open the local fund is for funding also productions with like which don't have that natural ties to Italy. So that was a development support with with very good conditions. So that was a good boost for us, and it was definitely good for the later stage when we applied at the MIBACT, the Ministry of Culture, for minority co-production support, that this development, regional development support was already in place. So then the Italian package looks more, or like is more broader than just the minority, for example.
And the shooting, you did everything in Czech Republic?
Yes, that was the original plan, and we kept it like this simply because of financing reason. That was much more convenient for all of us. And since this project has a massive VFX post-production and interesting layers of how can we put this together, and we have an experienced team for this department, that was our main idea, to delegate crew members, like key crew members from the Hungarian side, also as Christine as a Hungarian director, and then collaborate much more on the post-production. Also, the editing happened in Hungary, and still the VFX works are going on, and that's why the whole shooting was supposed to in Prague.
Yes, the story takes place in a more or less unspecified big city, but everybody speaks Czech there, so it would be it wouldn't be very logical to move production elsewhere. But the fact that, as you did, that key crew members were from Hungary, it actually I think helped a lot to gain a different perspective on the locations here and on the way. So it was most shot mostly in Prague and like a few days in Pilsen. So the way it was shot and what kind of perspective there is on Prague, which can otherwise be very like iconic or like seen many times, I hope that it will be different in a very good way, especially what the DOP and Christina as well, she's not from the Czech Republic. So the way I hope it will be a fresh look at this space. So the story is written in Czech, and the cast is entirely Czech, except Vita Karakes is Slovak, with Hungarian, Slovak-Hungarian, or Hungarian-Slovak, I'm not 100% sure now. Maybe I wouldn't mention that. But yes, the language is Czech, and Kristina is Hungarian, and even though she knows Czech Republic, of course, Hungarian and Czech languages are not very easy to learn, and they don't have much in common. So she had the script in English and in Czech, knowing it in both languages by heart. And of course, we had these questions at the beginning, like how this going to turn out. That was also why we 1 year before the production we did a 3-day shooting for a teaser to test actually how this will all work with the cast. And eventually it turned out that I won't speak for her as a director, but I think there was no questioning about directing in foreign language.
I think she's a language genius anyhow. So she does speak several languages already. And she started to learn Czech as well when this opportunity came up. Of course, it's not the same, like if everybody has a kind of knowledge already or even the mother tongue. But since she's an international person, so someone who's really European and moving in all the time in the Central European region, and she has been living in several countries already. So I think that helped a lot for herself, and also for this attitude and to be brave to do this job without any fear of the language barriers. And I think this is an amazing task what she has, and so she's confident in any languages.
And what is the global budget of the film?
1.6 million euros.
And you applied to Eurimage with that budget, and how much was granted?
250,000.
Okay, so it's quite a significant contribution. Is there anything that this money allowed that would not be you would not have been able to do without it? You mentioned VFX, or is there anything else?
It's a considerable part of the budget. It's just like few digits below 17%, which is the maximum. So it's a lot of resources to be able to use for the production in all. In all segments, definitely we would have to possibly compromise the amount of VFX, shooting days, etc. So it's used on all fronts.
So it's a lot of challenges to develop, finance, and also shoot a film. What were the main challenges for you? You mentioned the difference of language, but I can imagine there were more challenges than that. Was COVID, for example, an issue on set?
Of course, we were afraid of it, both from like the general health point of view, and as well we were afraid that it would disrupt the production, because that summer 2021 when we shot, of course it was like the low of the, there were like dozens of cases per day, so it wasn't, compared to other times, it was not something horrible. But it was very busy actually production wise especially in Prague and around. So every member of the cast and crew were like, it was very tightly packed, and the schedules were very tight. So any disruption would be very, very difficult to mitigate or to like work around with. And we had a lot of locations and a lot of elements in place that we are very try to do our best to avoid any disruption. So we were testing thoroughly. So we spent much more money on this than we hoped for, but it was for the good for sure.
And what are the plans for festivals? Are you planning to submit the film soon to specific events, or when do you expect to lock the film completely?
Well, now we need to figure out with our sales agent Totem Films the best strategy and schedule, which definitely depends on the stage of completion of the film, which is quite tightly now matching the deadlines for Cannes, for example. So we will figure out what's the best approach in relation to this and in relation to spring and summer season of festivals.
Thank you. It's already time to conclude this conversation. If you enjoyed this new episode, you can subscribe to our co-production podcast on Apple Music, Spotify, Google, or any other podcast platforms that has your preference. All our previous episodes are also available on cineuropa.org. I would like to thank Juan Carlos and Valerio for their logistical and technical contribution to the podcast. My gratitude goes as well to Eurimage for its editorial and financial support. And of course, it goes to you, Judith and Marek, and all the co-producers of Ordinary Failures, a film by Christina Groschen. And I wish you all the best for your future projects. We are looking forward to that film. Keep making films. We'll keep watching them. Thank you.